All right, you're listening to 91.7 FM WHUS. I am Fran Storch, and you are about to hear Radio Naturopath. I'd like to welcome to you our show. It is a call and talk show about health and natural medicine. I'm Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, and this is my co-host, Ron Manizza.
Good morning, Dr. Fran.
If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can call us at 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. All right, so we got some good stuff going on today. The first thing I really wanted to talk about, because it is such a beautiful day, I wanted to talk about the importance of rest, because a lot of you are going to look at this gorgeous day and you're going to see it as an opportunity because we're in New England. So therefore, a sudden gorgeous day is an opportunity.
To binge on whatever.
You might be, and a lot of you are going to binge on whatever's going on in the yard.
Right.
And there's probably a lot to do because, you know, we haven't had great weather lately and suddenly we have terrific weather. And another bunch of you are going to go out and exercise really hard outdoors. Some of you are not going to do that. But I think that the larger majority of people that are listening to this show, my concern is that they're going to binge on outdoor work after not being very well trained for it. So one of the things I wanted to caution people about is if you are going to get outside, there's a few things to be thinking about. One is that you probably have been all covered up all winter, and it hasn't been sunny enough or warm enough to be outside exposed. So one of the first things to do is break out the sunscreen. Now, you might want to look at your sunscreen and you want to check the bottle to see if it's expired. If it is expired, you may want to go to the store and get some more. I do like natural sunscreens. I like it with the larger particles of titanium in them, the kind that just sit on your skin, either zinc oxide or titanium. And so those can be really helpful. You can find those usually at health food stores or health food sections of supermarkets, but those are going to be the safest and least toxic. But if you do have to get some other kind of sunscreen, better than getting a bad sunburn. Now, getting some level of sun is important. So if you are out in the sun for 15 to 20 minutes uncovered, I think that's okay unless you tend to burn very easily. But getting some sunshine is going to help you. It's going to feel really good. You're going to be making vitamin D. It's going to improve your thyroid function, your serotonin function, and your melatonin function. All of those are going to make you feel really good. So the temptation is going to be outside for a long time. So if you're going to do that and you are very pale and you are somebody who burns easily, by the way, you can still burn even if you're darker skinned. So do be aware of that. It's a good idea to break out some sunscreen that is fresh and ready and available to block you from getting a bad sunburn. So that's the first thing. The other thing is to think about ticks. Think about ticks and mosquitoes. I think you're more likely to encounter ticks than mosquitoes right now, but there are some mosquitoes out there. So mosquitoes, we talked last year about mosquitoes, that one of our favorite essential oils to fend off mosquitoes is lemon eucalyptus. So if you can find just plain old lemon eucalyptus essential oil and mix it with some olive oil and put that on, that's a good thing. And you can also find commercially available bug sprays and tick repellents that have lemon eucalyptus or mosquito repellents that have lemon eucalyptus in it. Yep, lemon eucalyptus is a particularly good mosquito repellent. So if you're going to be around mosquitoes or if you've seen mosquitoes in your yard, you can break out the lemon eucalyptus. For ticks and mosquitoes, I learned about a new, I don't know how new it is because it's new to me. I learned about a bug repellent called Bio-UD. And it is a compound that is extracted from tomatoes and supposedly works as well as DEET, you know, the chemical that we're used to using and putting on our skin that can be toxic. whereas this is non-toxic. It's extracted from tomatoes, and mosquitoes and ticks don't like it. And you can easily find Bio-UD products online. You can find them at stores. You can get products to spray your clothes with, and you can get products to spray you with. I got a great idea. A big shout out to Lauren Young, naturopathic physician, this weekend. She had a fabulous idea. She said she wanted to get toilet paper rolls and spray them with and spray the toilet paper rolls with she was going to use permethrin. I think it would also be cool to use the Bio-UD, but you can use permethrin. And so you spray the toilet paper rolls with the permethrin, but the other thing you do is you put cotton puffs and spray those with permethrin as well. And then what will happen is mice will use those as nesting material and drag it back to their nests. And so that'll get rid of ticks. So that'll be a neat thing. The ticks will be repelled from the mice, and you won't have as much spread of ticks. And you can put those out in your yard. So that's kind of a neat idea.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, and then got that from Lauren.
That's good.
Nice. Yeah, I thought that was really cool. So thank you, Lauren Young, for putting that idea out. I thought I'd share it with the world. So,
world is your stage.
So it's a good idea. All the world's a stage.
Yes.
And big shout out to Connecticut Repertory Theater for putting on a fantastic production of As You Like It. We saw it Friday night, and it was great.
That was fun, wasn't it?
And the reference there is that Jacquees has a monologue that's the All the World's a Stage monologue is in As You Like It, as is The Fat and Greasy Citizens, as is The Fool Thinks Himself to Be a Wise Man, but the Wise Man Knows Himself to Be a Fool, said by Touchstone. Woohoo! So that there's some gems, some memes and gems from As You Like It.
Fran likes this play.
I like this play. Well,
you do.
You know, big shout out to Mrs. Apperin, who made me read it in high school and study it. So I know it rather well. Of all the Shakespeare plays, it's one I know quite well because I literally studied it. So getting outside, you're going to want to get outside. You're going to want to repel those bugs, and you're going to want to be smart about the sun. You do want to get out in the sun because getting out in the sun is good for you, but you don't want to get a sunburn. So then there's the importance of resting. So some of you are going to go out there and you're going to try to clean the yard all in one day, and you're not going to take breaks, and then you're going to be really sore and you're not going to feel like doing anything for a long time. So you have to remember that resting is important, that you want to go for 15 or 20 minutes and then sit down. 15 or 20 minutes, and then sit down again, even if you're taking five-minute breaks. It's like when we do interval training. That's exactly what you're doing. You want to be careful with how much you're doing. And if you haven't been doing much, and then all of a sudden you start to move a lot of brush, or you start to do a lot of raking, and you do way more than you're accustomed to doing all at once, you're gonna be really sore, and you have the possibility that you're going to pull something, that you're going to get some micro tears because the muscles aren't strong enough to handle the activity that you're doing. You're going to get some micro tears, and you're going to pull your back, or you're going to pull a hamstring, or you're going to get some kind of sprained strain situation.
And so, the next day you're going to wake up and you're going to go, what did I do to
exactly,
myself?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
So while you're out there, you want to go 15, 20 minutes and then sit down for 5 minutes. 15, 20 minutes, then sit down for 5 minutes. And have lots of water out there. If you want to have nice iced tea out there, make sure that you hydrate well. Don't forget to do that. Again, you know, we've been in a time of year where we don't think about hydrating as much. And now we have to really make sure that we do that, and because you're going to be out there, thinking about you're going to be out there not accustomed to the heat and not accustomed to moving that much, and you're not used to reaching for the water as much. So you want to make sure that you really do that. So that's really important. All right. And then think about all the reasons why rest is good. Because when you move, your muscles break down, and that's normal. There's some level of muscle breakdown. So when you rest, you give your muscles a chance to heal themselves. So if you do intervals, then rest, and then intervals, then rest, then you get the benefits of the activity that you just did, because your muscles are then going to heal themselves. And then don't go so hard all day so that, as Ron said, that you're going to be, you're going to wake up the next morning, you're not going to be able to move. That think about doing a small amount of activity, today, if you haven't been very active, you want to do a small amount of activity, probably no more than half hour to an hour, and then rest, and then just understand that there's going to be other nice days, and you don't have to do everything all at once.
There really will be other nice days.
Yes, there really will. It's hard to believe.
I know, especially
really
the way this year has gone.
Yes, but we are going to come to a time of the year where most of the days during the week are going to be nice. So getting everything done on May 2nd is probably not the smartest thing to do. But doing a bit of stuff on May 2nd is probably a good thing to do. The other thing about rest is rest improves your motivation. Now, we're talking here with both athletics and activities around the house. If you know that you can sit down after 15 minutes, you're going to be looking forward to that rest, and you're going to do it. And then after that 5 minutes, you're going to be able to go again. I know that when I'm doing my intervals on the road, I'm like, okay, I can go for 10 minutes. And then I know at the 10 minutes, I'm going to pedal like a snail. And then I really pedal like a snail for 5 minutes. It's really great. And after 5 minutes, I go again. And then I pedal hard for 10 minutes. And then for 5 minutes, I literally pedal like a snail and I wave to people. And I'm like, how am I going to get up this hill pedaling like a snail? All right. And put it in the absolute lowest gear and go really, really slow and watch my heart rate go below 100 beats a minute. It's great. And so that's really important to do. And even after I've done the last interval, I still do that snail interval. Even though at that point, you know, the rest doesn't matter because there's no next interval. But I make sure I do, after the last interval, I do that 5 minutes of snail pace before I just sort of pedal home. And when I pedal home, I don't overdo it. But that's the thing to do. You do intervals, whether you're doing exercise or whether you're doing, yard work or whatever it is you're doing outside or construction work.
More power to the snails. You know what you say when you see a snail pass you, right?
Yay.
No, look at that S car go.
Uh-huh. You're so funny.
Uh-huh. Right. A little snail humor.
A little snail humor. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. Rest really improves your motivation. And if you know that you're going to get a rest, you're going to be motivated to get to that rest. If you also know that you're going to have a rest day, if you plan rest days into your time, then you're going to be more motivated to work harder. So, if I know that the next day I'm not going to work out, I might push myself really hard on the day before because I know that the next day I don't have to work out, or I can just do gentle stretching because I know it's coming up. And I always build rest into what I'm doing. I've stopped doing, you know, harder, faster, farther, longer.
Oh, the two disease?
Yeah, I start.
Too much, too soon, too fast.
Because rest is awesome. Mm-hmm. I own way too many pairs of pajamas, enough so that I probably should get rid of some. Because I love to lay around. I do so love laying around. I don't lay around enough. I mean,
no,
I need
don't.
More. I need more rest than I get. But when I do get to sit down, it's so glorious. And I hope I get to do some of that today because it is going to be really lovely outside. And rest prevents injuries. Once again, if you push yourself too hard, you're going to cause too much tearing. And remember, every time you move your muscles, you are breaking down tissue and causing inflammation. And that's normal. That's what happens. That is how you build new muscle cells, because you challenge the muscles pull apart, and then you actually lay down more muscle cells. And that is a process of inflammation. So if you want that to take hold, that the most of that happens while you are resting. A ton of that happens while you're sleeping. So taking naps during the afternoon and also getting good sleep overnight, you build muscle. It's a really good time to do that. So getting good sleep is important. You know, there's active versus passive rest. So passive rest, you just lay around. That's the laying around thing. You watch a movie, you read a book, you do my favorite activity, laying around. We own two anti-gravity lounge chairs. You sit in those. We have a little table between the lounge chairs. That's for your drink.
It's for your beverage, yes.
For your beverage, yes. And you should have a beverage, whether your beverage has a little mm-hmm. alcohol in it or your beverage has no alcohol. Most of your beverage should have no alcohol in it, and your beverage could just be water. It could be water with a little fruit juice. It could be something fizzy. It could be iced tea. It could be a little ice quiffy, you know, but you want to keep hydrating.
Or if you have a big enough little table, you could put two beverages there.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of each, you know.
Well,
that's the point. I mean, we have two. Yeah. Like I said, we have two anti-gravity chairs, and we have the table between
them.
Yeah. But we do this dumb thing. We leave the anti-gravity. We left the anti-gravity chairs outside all winter. That wasn't good.
No.
Yeah. So the passive rest, you just give your body a break from stressful exercise. It also, when you rest, it increases your central nervous system recovery. So your brain recovers, the nerves that feed the muscles get to recover. So it's a really good head thing to get to recover. Did you know that each muscle group needs 48 hours of rest between workout sessions?
Really?
Yeah. So when you go out for multiple bike rides over multiple days, you're really not getting adequate rest.
48 hours. Yeah. Really? Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. So when you load, when we do a lot of load over days, you know, that's not really ideal. You're not, I mean, I'm not sure how to do that. Just because the way my life works, it's hard for me to do intervals on alternating days. Just because of how my work schedule is. That's why it's hard to be and not be a professional athlete when you have a day job.
Right.
Because you have to fit your workouts in when you can do them.
But if you do back-to-backs, which you can do back-to-backs, they're actually as hard as they are to do, as long as you focus on the fact that you take that really incredibly easy day off in between,
yeah,
then they're not so bad for you.
Right.
Because
well,
they will build your endurance.
They will. And at some point, well, and I also think that if you're doing interval training and you're doing a few days of interval training in a row, that you want to have adequate rest in between, that you have to have rest in the intervals and you have to have rest, you know, throughout most of the day. So you're not doing a long day and then going in and doing more hard intervals the next day. Or if you're right. doing that, you're doing very short intervals. Like, I'm probably going to do a lot of riding today, but tomorrow will be popper day. I'm going to go out, I'm going to do a bunch of sprints and go home.
Right.
And that's it. So, right. And then Friday
in
and
an hour or less.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Yes, precisely. Yeah.
Key point, an hour or less.
Yeah, although right. if it's a little more than an hour, what I will be doing is snail.
right, you'll be spinning
so
back
the
slowly.
The yeah. sprints will yeah. take me, I don't know, the sprints probably take me 20 minutes.
Right.
Right? And or maybe right. a little longer if there's a lot of rest between them. Like if I right. do a 30-second sprint with 2 or 3 minutes of rest, it'll take me longer because of all the rest.
Right, like
and
if
then,
you do a correct Tabata drill workout
yeah.
the correct way,
yeah.
the way that it was originally intended to be done,
yeah.
it's 16 minutes.
Right. Right. But I don't know if I'm going to do 16 minutes because I'm going to do like 30-second sprints with 2 minutes in between.
Very hard to do with on the road.
In a class.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. easier to do on a stationary.
Yeah. That's not that hard to do. I don't find that hard to do on the road.
No?
A 30-second sprint with 2 minutes of rest? That's why. What's hard about that?
No, I guess that's not bad.
No,
yeah.
it's not bad. You just go on back road and you do it.
Yeah.
and you smell the flowers. It's a nice day. You smell the flowers.
Yeah.
I also have to look to see what the weather's doing tomorrow because the prediction's not so great. But anyway, that's with exercise. But I'm talking to you people who are going to go outside and try to do your whole yard. And I just want to remind you that getting a day where you lay around. Laying around is really good for you. And if you can look forward to laying around, that kind of rest is super good for you. And big shout out to Emma, who was on the Cola Vita team, who said, well, you've got to learn to be very lazy.
Yes. Yeah.
That was her thing. She said in British accent. My British accent is not very good. So active rest, what active rest is, it's rest that gets you off and moving but doesn't tax yourself. That's when you do your leisure walk in nature or you do your casual bike ride where you intentionally don't push yourself and you look at the flowers and you look to see how high the skunk cabbage is up. And by the way, the skunk cabbage is up.
Oh, it is, yeah.
And you look to see what flowers are blooming there on the rail trail. And so active rest benefits circulation. So you're going to get more nutrients. So you want to stay totally aerobic. And that means you're not pushing yourself at all. So you're totally in the aerobic fat burning zone and easy. So you're just basically going through the motions of whatever you're doing. So if you're walking, you're walking enjoyably slow enough to look at the flowers and the frogs and the trees and stuff and the skunk cabbage. And also if you're on your bike, you're going to pedal like a snail the whole time.
Right.
And I find that when people say recovery days, they don't mean recovery days. They just go a little bit slower than they usually go.
Most people are unaware
of
what a real recovery day is, unless they are at a high level of athletics. And even those that are at a high level of athletics don't get it.
I know. I mean, really, my understanding of recovery is that you paddle so slow that you stay in zone one and two most of the ride.
Yeah.
And you don't even really, you don't ever go into zone three. That you're,
right.
you're like, you're paddling. I mean, you could totally have a conversation where you could solve the problems of the world. We're not even talking, you're not going to be breathing hard ever. The point is not to breathe hard. The point is to move your body, move your muscles.
Right. And if you're, if you're not wearing a heart rate monitor, then you don't know about what recovery is all about.
That's yes and
that
no.
That tool is really, really, really good
for
keeping those who don't know how to limit themselves.
It's really important. And it's also nice to not have a heart rate monitor sometimes and just listen to your body and go easy and not be paying attention to the apparatus.
If you're that perceptive, yes.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that most people aren't that perceptive.
That sometimes they need the heart rate monitor to tell them to keep it down.
Right.
All right.
And I think that of all the tools that I have purchased and toys I've purchased over the years that have helped me with my athletic performances, I think the heart rate monitor is still by far number one.
So if you don't rest, you're going to get overtraining.
Right.
And overtraining is no fun.
That's then you're not going to want to do anything.
That's right. And overtraining, when you have overtraining syndrome, it's not just your muscles that become overtrained. It's your CNS, your central nervous system. That's right. You get fatigue and you get malaise. Your central nervous system just goes, I don't wanna. Your central nervous system can just be overloaded. It doesn't, think about how when you get a muscle cramp, a muscle spasm, where the muscle just starts cramping, that's because that nerve is overtrained. That nerve needs to be calmed down. Well, sometimes your whole central nervous system can do that. So rest prevents overtraining. It's really important to do. And enjoying your body, where it's fun to enjoy your body and push yourself, but it's also really good to enjoy the comfort that you've had in your body from being able to do the work that you've been doing. And doing nice stretching is really good. Where you're doing stretching, you're not necessarily stretching in a way that's painful, but you're stretching in a way that just feels good and makes your body feel better. And that's for you people who are doing yard work. Remember that stretching is important. It's especially important for you if you have not been very active, that during those rest periods that you may want to incorporate some stretching there too. Stretching and hydrating, drinking water. So when you get that 5-minute rest, you're going to be drinking some fluid and you're going to also be doing some stretching. And then you just want to sit, get that anti-gravity chair and just sit there. And it's really good for you. So an anti-gravity chair, you can look up what that looks like, but it's basically a chaise lounge that kind of leans back. And what's nice about it is because it's the way it's set up, you are leaning back in the chair and then your knees are bent. So it's very low stress on your body and you can just relax into it. And you can lean it back as far as you like so your body is almost horizontal, but you're not precisely horizontal because your legs are bent. So it's very comfortable to sit in one of those things and to sun yourself. It's really nice. And that's when, if you've got mosquitoes around, you want to put on the bug repellent because then you're just a resting target there. So anyway, I wanted to talk about the importance of rest because I looked outside and I said, everybody's going to go outside and they're going to be doing all kinds of things. And, we New Englanders, we're going to go outside and take the opportunity and we're going to clean up the whole yard today and then be really sorry tomorrow. So sunscreen, bug repellent, rest, hydration. Okay.
Yeah.
Got all that?
Got it all.
Sweet. All right. Do you want to know what ORAC values are?
Yeah, what is an ORAC, first of all? An O-R, what is
it's
this?
It's kind of
A-C.
Like an, I think an orc was one of those dwarves in Lord of the Rings?
Well, the orcs were they the dwarfs, or were those things that came out of the ground that were nasty and ugly and fighting battle machines?
All right. Okay.
I don't know. I can't remember. One of the two.
So that's not what an orc is.
Geeky enough.
So ORAC stands for oxygen radical absorbance capacity.
And of course it does.
Yeah, it's the measure of ability of a food or substance to quench oxygen-free radicals in a test tube. So this is interesting. It was developed at the National Institute on Aging, also known as NIA, which also stands for Neuromuscular Integrative Action, which is a body-mind fitness art that I used to teach. Shout out to Debbie Rosas and Carlos Rosas. Anyway, but the National Institute on Aging, which is arm of the National Institutes of Health, it gives a score or value to a lot of fruits and vegetables and spices. And so high scores get awarded to brightly colored fruits and vegetables. So they're going to have a higher antioxidant value if they have a high ORAC value. So antioxidants, there are studies that show that antioxidants in food can increase the antioxidant power in the blood. So there's been a lot of research in that way. So if you eat a lot of high ORAC score foods, it boosts your blood antioxidant scores. And if you have a higher blood antioxidant scores, you're going to have less tissue damage. You're going to have less gene modification. You're going to have healthy expression of genes of all kinds. So you're going to be less likely to get cancer, but you're going to be less likely to have inflammatory conditions. You're going to be less likely to get sick. You're going to be less likely to have muscle breakdown and bone breakdown and nervous system breakdown, all kinds of things you want to keep healthy. Your cellular breakdown will be improved, that you won't have as much. So if a food has a high ORAC value in the lab, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to have high antioxidant value in your body. So so there are a lot of foods that have high ORAC values. And
so how do you determine here? You know, it says that you have to get between 3,000 and 5,000 ORAC units. How do you know what foods have how many units?
So we're going to just tell you, right. And that's something you can look up. I mean, there are ORAC charts online. And if you really want to do that, if you really want to do that, you could do that. But I think that's a recipe for making yourself crazy. I think a good thing to do would be to just know which foods have a lot of antioxidants and eat them. All right. That's going to be all your leafy greens. Pick your favorite leafy green and eat it. So spinach, collards, kale, the darker the green is, the more antioxidant value it's going to have. It's going to have cool stuff like lutein and zeaxanthin and carotenoids. Really good for your eye health, help you to see better, help to prevent cataracts and breakdown of your retina and all kinds of cool stuff like that. Your cruciferous vegetables have a lot of antioxidants to other phytonutrients. So your broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, turnips, those guys. Your orange-yellow vegetables are going to have a lot of carotenoids. Your winter squash, your carrots, your apricots, sweet potatoes, mango, papaya. Red pigmented fruits have a lot of lycopene, and lycopene is a really nice antioxidant that's particularly good for prostate health, but it also helps to fight heart disease and some kinds of cancer. So the big one that has lycopene that we think of is tomatoes. And if you want to get lycopene from tomatoes, the best way to get it is to cook the heck out of your tomatoes. So believe it or not, one of the best sources of lycopene is pasteurized tomato juice. So if you need a lot, So if you need a lot of lycopene, you want to get pasteurized tomato juice. So tomato juice in a can, tomato juice in a jar that's been pasteurized. So if you buy tomato juice that's sitting on the shelf and not in the refrigerator in a food store, you're all set. That would be the one to get. By the way, watermelon has a lot of lycopene in it, and if you drink watermelon juice, you're going to get concentrated lycopene. Pink grapefruit and papaya also have a lot of lycopene. I didn't know that about pink grapefruit, and I love pink grapefruit. Okay, so blue and purple fruits are going to have your anthocyanins, and they protect against cancer, heart disease, diabetes. They're really nice things. So that's going to be your blueberries, your purple grapes, plums, beets, red cabbage, and also acai. Acai. I was told by Rita that you put the emphasis on the I. It's not acai, it's acai, and it's not a K.
Okay.
It's no acai, not okay. So it's acai. Say it with me. Acai. Yes, one more time. Acai. Yeah, so that's a really fun fruit. Now, the thing with acai is it doesn't grow here. On the one hand, doesn't grow here, so should we really be eating it? I'm going to tell you, I don't think you have to eat it because it doesn't grow here. But the thing is, we also eat bananas, which don't grow here, so what the heck? On the other hand, if you want to eat acai, the best acai, you're going to have to find it frozen because it doesn't grow here. And not only doesn't it grow here, but it spoils rapidly when you pick it. So you have to, so basically if you're going to get it here, you have to get frozen acai. And then it's a neat thing. If we're going to enjoy acai here, we're going to be blending it into bowls and acai bowls and blend it into smoothies with other fruits and protein powder and cacao. I think acai and cacao is a nice combination to mix that acai with some protein powder and some raw organic cocoa powder. Awesome. So those are wonderful high antioxidant foods. And then there's your green and white tea, which we talked about last week, and your dark chocolate and red wine, all very high in antioxidant activities, and they rank high. And you know, I talked about this a long time ago, that if you get dark chocolate-covered prunes have a high ORAC value. Think about how dark they are and that they're dark through and through. So they have a lot of anthocyanins as well, and the dark chocolate has the cocoa flavanols. So if you get chocolate-covered prunes, you're going to get a high antioxidant treat. That's also delicious. Okay? So very good. So that's all about the ORAC, or oxygen radical absorbance capacity. Now you know. All right. So let's see what else. Let's talk about elderberry for a minute. I mean, I know we're moving out of cold and flu season, but let's talk about elderberries a little bit. So elderberries, they are fruit of the flowering plant known as Sambucus. And there's a number of species. The one we mostly use is from Sambucus niger. Sambucus nigra. And, you know, nigra meaning black because it's a very dark berry. So it's going to have anthocyanins in it too. You don't see a lot of elder used here, but in Europe they tend to be used. They'll make them in desserts and syrups, jam and jelly, you can make elderberry wine. You don't see that a lot in the U.S. You see it more in Europe, but it's really it's really underused here, and I try to tell people to use it because it can really help with immunity. Elderberries are toxic if you eat them raw, so you have to cook them first. So the branches, leaves, and twigs all have some cyanide. So that's why you have to cook the elderberry down.
I would
think. Then you don't have the cyanide problem.
That would be a big problem.
So it has a lot of nutrition. Let's not some iron and potassium, phosphorus and copper, and has some protein and fiber. Elder can help with digestion. They help. Elderberries have they have a lot of fiber in them, so they help that way. They are good for cardiovascular health. They help to reduce. It's more of a fiber thing, apparently, that it helps you to release extra cholesterol from your body, so it makes room for more HDL, which runs around and picks up your cholesterol, so you have less hardening of the arteries, less atherosclerotic plaques in your arteries. And also there's a lot of potassium. So anything that has a lot of potassium in it is going to calm your blood vessels and make it so that they don't beat so hard. It's really good for your respiratory health, sore throats, coughs, colds, bronchitis. There's bioflavonoids that soothe inflammation in there. Those anthocyanins are wonderful. They are direct anti-inflammatory, so they're really good that way. Really good for immunity. They're antibacterial, anti-infectious, used to ward off the flu. They help with diabetes because, once again, the anthocyanins help to regulate blood sugar, and also good for bone health. So so elderberry is an old nature cure for sciatica. And so that's one reason I like to take it most of the time, because I have a tendency towards sciatica because I have disc degeneration in my back and I've had two bad rounds of sciatica. So if I keep the elderberry up, that's helpful. Although, quite honestly, I think that my number one cure for sciatica is, every other day doing planks.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, just doing good back care. back care exercises, stretching and strengthening my back. Is that's what keeps the sciatica away. It's in cosmetics. The bioflavonoids are anti-inflammatory, so you can get elder creams and put them on your skin and help to reduce wrinkles. And people think that they can be helpful for weight loss too, because of the fiber. So if you do some elder serve, it does all kinds of cool stuff. It's really neat. So those are some benefits of elderberry, and then elderberry and the flu. So elderberry has been thought about as something that can help with the flu. That when you get a flu shot, there's no guarantee that you're not going to get the flu. And, they talked about how the flu season, there was a couple of weeks ago, they talked about how the flu season wasn't older than influenza A, which was the really bad one, which was causing people very serious conditions and people were dying from it. That kind of went down, and then flu B came up, and I went to visit my nephew and my sister and her family, and there was a flu epidemic in the school. So he was in a play, and the flu spread among all the cast members. They all got sick with the flu. They had like a high fever, like 103 fever for a few days, and cold, they had, runny nose and sore throat and fatigue and muscle aches and all that, and some digestive stuff. And they all got sick, and turned out it was the flu. So it was likely influenza B, but 70 kids in the school had the flu.
So all you teachers out there, elderberry.
Ah, yeah. Mm. So elderberries are thought to prevent or shorten the duration of herpes outbreaks because they're good antivirals, really good for preventing and treating the flu and influenza and colds because it's a good antiviral. There are results of some studies that show that elder does have significant benefits against cold and influenza symptoms. There was a placebo-controlled double-blind study conducted by Israeli virologist Dr. Madeline Monkwologlu.
Yeah, I couldn't pronounce that.
Yeah, I think she looks Romanian. I think that's not. I don't think that's Hebrew. Anyway, 93.3% of the people taking the elderberry preparation reported significant improvement in influenza symptoms within 2 days of starting it, compared with the 6 days for the placebo group. So, it really does shorten your experience of the flu. It's really great. So if you have the flu, you can take elderberry, like a lot of it, elder syrup, and take it multiple times during the day, and you'll probably shorten your duration. There was another double-blind placebo-controlled study in Norway where people were given either a placebo or elderberry syrup to patients who had flu-like symptoms for less than 48 hours, and they got similar results to the Israeli study. And so people felt better like 4 days earlier that with taking the elderberry. So it stands to reason that if you take a bit of elder syrup through the flu season, you will be less likely to get it in the first place. So what I have people do is anybody who's willing to do it, if you want to, if you have a high risk of exposure or you just want to do it, because I do it, you take elderberry syrup through the cold and flu season and it might help to prevent you from getting it. You do that. And of course, you wash your hands and do your neti pot and do your xylitol nasal spray, xylitol saline nasal spray. And hopefully you'll be in better shape. And also gargle. Don't forget to gargle because the viruses collect in your nose and they also collect in your throat. So how do they work as an antiviral? There are probably many mechanisms, but one is that they have a hemagglutinin protein. So what that means, it makes the blood cells stick together so that the viruses can't penetrate the cell wall. So it prevents the virus from causing infection if you take it before you're exposed. So, if you take it after you're exposed, then it's going to prevent it from spreading. So it's going to cause your white blood cells to stick together and go, you ain't coming in. It's very interesting. So you can get fresh elderberries. You can buy them from herbal companies. And there's a lot of companies that make syrup. You can make your own syrup if you want to. But a lot of herb companies, it's very easy to find elder syrup at health food stores and practitioners who practice natural medicine are going to be able to provide it for you. So it's really not hard to find commercially. So you can make it if you want to, but if you don't want to make it, it's highly available. So we want to know if the flu season is over yet. I don't know. The peak of the flu season was in February, but this article, which was written in early April, said we're not out of the woods yet, and we knew we weren't out of the woods. We certainly weren't out of the woods on April 21st in Florence, New Jersey.
No.
That was major woods there. But then they got better, and the weather got better, and I think they're doing okay. So we might be mostly done at this point. One thing I did hear is that you really should be careful right up through June. And quite honestly, what I see is that people come in with colds and flu, mostly colds, not so much flu this time of year, but people still come in with colds up through. It's a school thing. When school is in session, people get sick. So I really start seeing colds. There's a little bit of a break, like July and August. There's a little bit of a break because widely people aren't in school. You know, I'm talking, you know, children and college students are not widely in school. But once school starts again, you just got people gang housed and on top of each other, and virus is spreading. I really start seeing my first colds in my office in September, and I see some level of that right up through June, and then June, then it quiets down July and August, and then it's incredible. It's like winter in July, but it's maybe winter in July and August. So that's a little disturbing. So, you know, elder is your friend, and eating less sugar, getting your exercise, doing your vitamin D, getting outside, all those things are going to help. It's a good idea to keep your nose and your throat clean all the time, to have a habit as part of your hygiene. If you're already brushing your teeth, you might as well also have a habit of cleaning your nose and cleaning your throat. Whether you do a nice saline or xylitol nasal spray, or you do a neti pot with just saline or saline and xylitol, and also gargling, again, with at least salt water. You can do salt water. You can do salt water with all kinds of things in it. You could put xylitol in it. Xylitol is one of my favorite things. It's so easy. You can get xylitol, just a little bit of xylitol, a little bit of salt. Pinch each of those and put it in water and gargle that every day, and you're going to get a lot less sick. If you swish the xylitol in your mouth, and you might... You could do salt with the xylitol in your mouth if you want to, but if you just do a xylitol rinse in your mouth, you're going to be less likely to get cavities because the xylitol kills the bacteria that causes plaque. Xylitol is a biofilm buster, so it will bust the biofilms on your teeth. That plaque is basically a biofilm. It's a protein that bacteria produce to protect themselves from your immune system going after them. So if you put xylitol in there and you get your xylitol, your biofilm busted, bacteria open up to the air because the bacteria that cause plaque are anaerobic. And once you expose them to the air, they die. So that's good. So xylitol is your friend in that sense. All right. So so all of those things are really important, and you probably want to do those all year. Yep. So, all right. Let's talk about another berry. Let's go with blueberries. Blueberries are fun. I don't know why I'm talking about blueberries right now. They're not really in season. Maybe I won't. Maybe I won't go there yet.
They're plentiful in the grocery stores.
They're right coming now. Up. I know. So maybe I will. They're coming, but they're not coming from here. Blueberries aren't going to be ready until late June, early July.
Right.
Here. But you're right. They're coming up. They're coming up from California and Florida now. So that's nice. And they're delicious.
They taste good.
I've been making yogurt parfaits, which I'm very excited about. And I think I'm going to tell you how to do that.
Yeah, let's explain what a yogurt parfait is.
All right. So what I've been doing is I've been choosing various yogurts. So you can choose whatever yogurt you want to use. So if you want to use whatever one you like, just make sure it doesn't have chemicals in it. If you're not dairy intolerant, you can pick a yogurt that you like. I prefer grass-fed yogurt from grass-fed cows, so that you can have more vitamins and minerals, and the yogurt's not going to have anything GMO. By the way,
you're onto something new, though, aren't you?
I wanted to have a big shout-out to the companies Chobani and Faye. So Chobani and Faye used to recommend against people getting them because they didn't ensure that the feed of the cows that they were getting the milk from were GMO-free. They didn't used to do that. And one of the reasons was the very, you know, community conscious guy. So the guy who runs Faye, Chobani, was this lovely man from Turkey who runs a communal organization. And they, you know, Chobani and Faye are based in upstate New York. Mm-hmm. That's where, probably in the part of New York where we go to the Hudson Valley, where we go to the Farm to Fork Fondo.
Right. There are many parts of New York that are very agricultural oriented.
And very dairy oriented. Yeah. Right. So I think it's New York was, what did they tell us, that New York was the second or third biggest dairy producer in the nation, and California was the first. But New York is way up there. So anyway, Chobani and Faye are based there, and so the gentleman who was running, who founded Chobani, he's from Turkey, and he runs a very conscious organization, a very socially conscious organization. He takes care of his people. I think they have some kind of a profit sharing aspect to their employment.
Yeah.
So he wanted to make Chobani products economical for people. So he didn't concern himself with whether the feed from the cows he was getting their milk from were using only GMO-free feed. So what happened was Whole Foods went GMO-free.
Ah.
And they said, bye-bye, Chobani and Faye. They wouldn't buy it. Because they went GMO free. So that was too much for Chobani. So eventually
they responded.
They did. Chobani and Faye both. So now Chobani and Faye, while possibly not organic, their feed is going to be their feed is now GMO free. So if they're, even if their animals are eating corn, it's GMO free corn. So you don't have to worry about GMOs. However, Chobani and Faye are not necessarily 100% grass-fed, and there are other brands that are 100% grass-fed, in my opinion. Those are the ones to shoot for if you're doing dairy yogurt. Now, I've been exploring different kinds of yogurt. I had some almond milk yogurt. I was not thrilled. And if you have found an almond milk yogurt that you love, please tell me about it, because the one that I chose, I will not buy it. I just didn't like it. So the dairy alternative yogurts I've tried, I've tried coconut yogurt, which I've been very happy with. And the latest one that I tried was cashew yogurt. So yogurt made of cashew nuts. Amazing. That's really good. So anything made from a cashew is going to taste good. Cashews are kind of sweet and they're pretty fatty. So whatever flavor that you put into the cashew stuff, you're going to have wonderful flavors. The flavors come out. I find that when I eat cashew ice cream, I almost don't know I'm eating ice cream that's not made of dairy. It's so good because the fat really brings out the flavor of whatever you're putting into it. Well, that's true in the yogurt too. So I make these lovely parfaits. What I do is I'll take, if I'm using a single serving yogurt, what I'll do is I will transfer into another container, the container I'm going to take to work, because, you know, we want to make things easy and we want to make things single serve, right? So what I do is I'll take, so say I'm doing a single serve cashew yogurt. So I'll take half the yogurt out and I'll put it into the container that I'm going to transport in and store in the fridge. I'll put it in and then I'll take a berry. It could be a strawberry. I usually stick with two berries just for space reasons. So I'll take maybe 3 to 4 strawberries and I'll cut them up into bite-sized pieces, and I'll cut them up and I'll stir them in the new container into the cashew yogurt. So now I have this layer of cashew yogurt with strawberries in it, for example. You could do strawberries. You could do blueberries. If I use blueberries or raspberries or blackberries, I don't cut them. I just use them as is. So I stir that in, and then I cover the that layer of cashew yogurt with strawberries in it with chia seeds. So I put chia seeds in there, and then in the old container, in the container that came from the store, I will take a different berry, and again, could be, and I generally don't do the strawberries because I'm tired of cutting things up. So I'll use either blackberries, blueberries, or raspberries. I'll put a small handful, just enough to take up some space in the rest of the cashew yogurt, stir that together, and then pour it over the top and into the new container. So now I have a layer of cashew yogurt with strawberry, chia seed, and then cashew yogurt with other berry, blueberry, raspberry, blackberry, whichever. All right. And now I have this neat parfait. And then I garnish it on top. So my preferred garnish is to sprinkle in stripes, roughly equal sized stripes. I sprinkle a stripe of dried goji berries. a stripe of unsweetened shredded coconut and a stripe of cacao nibs. And that's on the top. And it makes this wonderful parfait. It's really great. And for your stripes on top, you could do other things. You could do sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds. You could do perhaps chopped walnuts or chopped pecans if you wanted to do that. You do whatever you want. You get other dried fruit and sprinkle those on top. There's a mixed high antioxidant dried berry that I can get at the health food store. That would be a neat thing to sprinkle on top. So you got a lot of options there, but it makes me feel like I'm having one of those acai bowls, but it's not acai bowls. But it's not really an acai bowl. So when I finally make my own acai bowl, I'll let you know how that turned out. Because I bought acai, and I found acai in the health food store frozen without guarana, which I'm very happy about.
What you're doing is quite a production. I've watched you make that. It's like...
It doesn't take that long, though. It really doesn't.
Okay.
Well, I make three at a time because I have them for the week, but you can make one at a time. It really doesn't take that long, and it's so delightful once it's done.
So I found a little page here about yogurt substitutes and different things that they're making them out of, as you're talking about. They also say something about making chia seed pudding.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Have you done that?
Yeah, of course.
That's
I made that for you. Yeah, you can.
You do is soak the chia seeds.
Yes. And I usually, for us, what I have done in the past is I have soaked it in coconut milk,
Yeah, they say soak it in water, non-dairy milk or juice.
Yes.
Chia pudding is a product of seeds absorbing the liquid and producing a gel-like coating.
Yeah. So if you like that gel taste, it makes it sort of so when you put that layer of chia seeds in between and then you let the parfait sit, the chia seeds soak up the fluid from either side. So it makes the yogurt on either side of it a little bit thicker. And you get this pudding-like texture of the chia seeds in between. Not everybody's going to like that. I love it. I think it's wonderful. I really like it. And it makes me eat more chia seeds, which is good for me. You know, chia seeds are high in fiber. They're high in calcium. They have some protein in them. They're energizing. They're really good.
Lots of omega-3s.
Lots of omega-3s,
also probiotics and all that.
Yeah.
But what is the thing about chia seeds that you like the most?
But that it helps with regularity.
Yes.
Yes, it really does. Well, and it's going to help with regularity because it has high fiber. It has oil in it. And as it's going through you, it draws water to it. So it makes your stool easier to pass.
How about that?
Yeah. So I think it's very nice. Mind you, ground flax seeds are also going to help you with regularity.
Right.
So yeah. So blueberries. I don't know. I think we're going to go back to, we'll talk about blueberries next week, I think.
Okay.
We'll just keep going with this interest.
Well, you have quite a list there. So there's still a lot more to talk about.
There's more to talk about.
Good.
All right. So you have been listening to Radio Naturopath. It's a call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza.
Yeah.
You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram, at Fran Storch, ND. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. And remember to eat your veggies. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores.